I'm feeling good right now. It's just one of them days where everything going right. Everybody come together, let's go, yo. Hey,
I'm feeling alright. Just one of them days, everything go right now. Like to keep this vibe throughout the day, if that's okay.
Live Discovery Paranormal. Oh man, we are cruising through this month, whatever the hell month it is. I believe it is May. It is May, and we're coming home May 16th, of course. We are coming around the mountain, and man, time's just flying. I don't know. I feel like yesterday was February, and the day before that was like October or so. But there's just a lot of stuff out there in the world, and paranormally, you know, in the world of the paranormal, there's a lot of stuff. I think there's a lot of sightings. You know, I mean, UFO sightings, you're going to have more because more people have cameras. More people have decent, more reliable cameras. You know, maybe they're not the best cameras in the world. And then, you know, I'm into photography. I own a small photography business, you know, and then people come to me like, you know, look at this picture of this thing. And I see a light in the sky. I don't know what the hell it is. You know, it's a light in the sky. It could be anything. Yeah, you know. But you need to really, let me tell you, if you take a picture of something in the sky, especially at night, and that thing is flying along, it's a moving object, it's a light to your eye, and whatever you think you can see, the camera, unless you have a really great camera with a really great lens, which you probably don't, you're probably using your telephone, you're probably using like your little smartphone or whatever the heck you got, you know, or even like a handheld, one of those quick shot, one shots or whatever they are, you know, unless you have invested thousands of dollars, and I mean sometimes, you know, really tens of thousands if you think about it, because that kind of lens, you know, if you're looking at like, I have a 600 millimeter lens, when you're looking at it in the world of Canon and that type of thing, or even the side brands like Sigma and all that, you're spending. If you want a 600 millimeter lens, you're going to spend big bucks. Big. I mean, a Canon 600 millimeter is around $5,000 or $6,000, you know, just for the lens, not including another $2,500, $3,500 for a good full frame camera that can fire, you know, unbelievably fast. And then you have to be able to understand how that light works, you know, because as for like focusing on things at night and trying to get that object in the sky and it's moving, very hard to do. That's why when you look at the media and people say, well, look at this thing in the sky, it was a UFO, it just looks like a blob of light in the sky and it's moving along doing its business, you know what I mean? So I don't think that technology is going to improve all that much unless you're a total pro and have that kind of money to invest in a situation like that. But anyway, there's a lot of sightings, but more important, there's a lot of like negative of, you know, like paranormal stuff with ghosts, man. I mean, I'm getting a lot of calls. We're going in Sunday doing an investigation in this one place I talked about last week. You know, this woman's got two small children that are now under attack, you know. They just moved into this place in October, but the attacks just happened about a month ago. They started hearing footsteps running up and down the door, the hall, I mean, door slamming and that type of thing. Everybody's seen it, you know, or heard it. But in her daughter's bedroom, her very young daughter, you know, daughter was attacked and then attacked again, you know, woke up the other day, had a black eye and a cut under her eye, and her brother slept in the same room because he wanted to protect her. So cute, you know. And then he got burned, like there was burns on him. So he was the same one last week that was scratched up and down his back, you know, and there's nothing there that could scratch him, and there wasn't a person that scratched him, and it wasn't himself, and that type of thing. We're dealing with a horrible, 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 lowly, negative energy, you know, and then there's a lot of that, man. It's not just like, you know, I mean, you know, yeah, if you're in this world, the paranormal, and, you know, Peter Kanellis, the guy I do the show was with, the one I do the investigations with, he and I go out, we do these things, you know. We don't charge people. We don't get down like that. You know, we do it just, you know, to do it, to help people, really, you know. And also to understand more about that world, right? But, you know, you get your calls and you get people to say, hey, this is happening in my house and whatever, you know. And then you're like, damn, you know. You get these ones once in a while where that are really bad, that something negative is there affecting whatever's there, whatever's living there, like making it so you can't sleep at night, you know, scratching you, pushing you down the stairs, you know, burning you and that type of thing. You know, those are not just some earthbound entity. Those are entities that are just really bad, evil, bad, you know. So, but I want to also focus on the show of a worldwide prayer, you know, and I know that people do prayers and I know people put bow their heads, and this is going to be a little different. I think that anybody out there, no matter what religion you are, if you're a Christian, if you're Muslim, if you're Jewish, if you're Wiccan, whatever you are, whatever you believe, and even if you're an atheist, you don't believe, we're going to talk about focusing our good energy, the goodness in our souls, and using that as tools to do good works, because it's better to feel good than feel bad. So look at Saturday Night Live, right? I hadn't watched that show in a million years. The last time I was really interested in that show, like John Belushi was on it, I was a kid. I was in junior high, and Saturday Night Live was a big deal because it was cutting-edge comedy and humor at that time, right? And they didn't have an ego, I got to tell you. The people that were on there, amazing comedians, great comedians, Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, all the big names, all the people you know. This is where they started, basically, on Saturday Night Live. And some of them made it, some of them didn't make it. But I'll tell you something. Humor is a good thing. And there's not many creatures on the planet that can really laugh. You know, I think that we have the ability to feel good or feel bad. So Saturday Night Live, when they started spoofing Trump, I don't know, I ran into a clip on YouTube as I was cruising around. I decided to watch it. Melissa McCarthy, a show on Spicer. Oh my God, did I laugh my ass off, man. I know, and I don't think I've laughed like that in like years. I was crying. She was so funny. So unbelievable. The parody that she did, and also Alec Baldwin. I don't even like Alec Baldwin as a person or an actor or nothing. And that's just my opinion. That's my personal opinion. I don't have to like him. That's not written anywhere, right? You know? But the guy does a great Trump. You got to give him credit. And he kind of revamped his career because of that. You know, I think that the whole crew now does a great job spoofing and doing a parody of politics and what's going on in our world, which is ever most present to so many people. But so many people out there are suffering, man. And I listen to you. You reach out to me sometimes. Your friends on Facebook or whatever, or anything, you know, YouTube, whatever. People contact me. Don't torture yourself over these politics. And whatever happens, we're going to be strong together as a people. The most important thing is not to let the world divide us. And it's only a few characters that are trying to do this. Keep that in mind. And they're very wealthy and powerful. Keep that in mind. You're letting billionaires and millionaires tell you how to live and what to do or what to feel and what your emotions should be, you know. So because of that, there's so much negativity out there in the world, the whole world. I don't think that there's a piece of the world that's not feeling some kind of division or the brunt of something. We need to be there as people. So it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what your religion is. It doesn't matter how fat or skinny you are, short and tall, whatever. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we're together. And as what we've got. We've got each other. You know, if you let people divide you, if you let people dictate how your emotions are going to be, I'm going to be mad. I'm reading these articles that are against black people. I'm going to be mad at all the black people. I have friends that I grew up with, you know, who have made roundabout racist statements, white and black friends, you know, both sides, some direct statements. And I'm like, really? Do you really feel that, you know? And I try to talk to them like, hey, you know, you're letting somebody else's you know, drive your feelings, control your emotions, right? So, yeah, not every black person's a criminal. Not every white person's a criminal. Not every Spanish person's a criminal. But not all people are good either. It's good and bad. Do you think that there are more bad people than good people in this world? I don't believe that. I believe that there are entities dividing. And let me tell you, man, they are targeting the groups out there, groups of people. They are labeling groups of people. You know who's famous for doing this? Is the Democrats, because they use people. The Republicans do it differently. The Democrats, and they both use people. That's why I don't get on with either side, because neither side speaks for me, you know? I want to have programs to help the poor, but I want to keep my guns too. You know, I don't want to get in the way of my personal rights, but yet I want to ensure the rights of others also. Yeah, of course I want immigrants to come in this country taking the right path, doing the right thing, not coming over, sneaking over and doing that and breaking the law, you know. But why can't you have one party that satisfies all the people? It doesn't work like that, because those parties know it's better to divide. It's better to divide, because in that division, in that anger, in those arguments comes confusion. Lao Tzu, he said that there's great profit in confusion. You know, only the lowliest people use it to profiteer off of other people's misery. And that's what's happening now. So you need to look beyond the rhetoric. You need to look beyond Trump. Think of Saturday Night Live. You laugh your ass off, you know. It takes the teeth away. That humor, that laughing, that happiness takes the teeth away from that evil. It goes right into the evil's mouth and yanks those teeth out, gone. And then it has no bite. The only thing you do is bark at you. You laugh right in its ugly face and say, "You have no power here." So this is a worldwide prayer for everybody's soul. This is a prayer to undo all the negativity, to destroy it, to get rid of it, and then to focus on what's good. So you want to pray to Jesus Christ, do it. You know, Jesus was a great man, a great teacher. Went from town to town, spoke to people about these ills. What I'm doing right now, right here, is what Jesus did. You think Muhammad was any different? You think that he didn't go around and observe these things? But people have taken words and breathed the wrong meaning into it to use it for what they will. Now, in all of these old religious texts, it says exactly that, that there's going to be false prophets coming along using those words for their own means, and that those false prophets will inherit all the bad parts of the Bible or the Quran or the Torah, you know? And there's a lot of bad to that stuff. I like the Old Testament because it's a cool story, series of stories anyway. You know, I like learning about other cultures. When my friend was becoming a Muslim years ago, in my early 20s, I sat there in his driveway with him in his car, and I read the Quran to him, and he read it back to me so he could memorize it. You don't do stuff like that without picking up a few things, you know? And then when I got into Taoism, everything just made sense, man. And that's not even a religion. It's a philosophy. But, you know, there is no religion. There is no religion. I mean, if you're religious or whatever, you're not going to get what I'm saying. It's all the same. There's only a creator, and it's all the same. And that creator, you know, may not be the creator that you envision. But let me tell you, it's an energy that you wouldn't believe. And then with that energy, with God, you could do anything, because nothing is more powerful than that. But things that are out there, that evil, that nastiness, the anger, the hate, that division, all the stuff that drives it, being sneaky, being liars, cheaters, and thieves, all that stuff is bad. Nothing good can come from it. And if you profit from it, nothing good comes from that. And there is something that I believe called karma. And karma is a bitch beyond belief, man. That karma will come back to you, and it'll take a chunk out of you. And you're going to say that. You're going to even laugh to yourself sometimes, like, oh, man, look what I did. Here's karma, you know? But what we can do for each other goes well beyond being the divided individuals. You know, you black people out there, do you think you can fight the war alone? You've been, kind of. There's only a handful of people that went to help. I witnessed stuff firsthand, man. You know, I hung out in East New York, down in New York City. Let me tell you, man, you just hang out in places like Bed-Stuy, Brownsville Projects, Far Rockaway. You learn what life is really fast for a certain segment of people. Then you leave that place and you go to a neighborhood that doesn't have almost no crime, nothing going on, and you say to yourself, what's the difference between those two places? You know, is it people and the color of their skin? No, of course not, because we've had great leaders who were black. We've had great people, doctors, inventors who were black, people who have given to this world who were black. So obviously it has nothing to do with black. You know, I'm told poverty. Is it poverty? I've seen communities that were impoverished, yet they still functioned, and you didn't have that rate of crime, you know, as you do in these inner city ghettos. I believe it's an extinction. I believe that they are under attack. The people that live there can't get out of there. They're stuck there. And then what do you open up in those places? Liquor stores, gun stores, or you make guns easy to get, handguns. Obama never talked about illegal handguns. That does most of the killing in the country. He went after the fat white guys with Jesus and his guns. He kept referring to that. I see the fat in there, but he kept referring to that. Where is that? Does that help anybody? Does that do any good? So think of it. You know what? If you want to think about politicians, you got to think of is that people who aren't necessarily there to help you. And if you want to steal, politics is a great way to steal. So then you have a lot of dishonest people. Either they're dishonest before they got in, or they're dishonest after they got in. They start cutting corners. To find that type of honesty in the world is rare in a human being, a person that doesn't need to lie. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I have no need to lie to you. What would I lie to somebody about? There wouldn't be any reason to. You know what I mean? But there are people out there that lie. They lie to get out of trouble. They lie because they're not proud of what they did, and they lie. And they lie, and they lie again, you know? In my other job as a private investigator, I interview people all the time that lie to me, all the time. I know they're lying to me. You know, I'll ask questions that I already know the answers to just to hear them lie, just to judge them on their character. Because that's all we are at the end of the day. We are a character. What our character is anyway. You know, what you are, your core personality. If you like to laugh and have a good time, you know. And I don't judge people on their income. I don't judge people on any of that because it's wrong to do. Because someone's not wealthy doesn't mean that you know, they're good or bad or whatever. Does, you know what? If you're wealthy, you could be a bad person or a good person. If you're poor, you could be a bad person or a good person. I've met both. I've met more poor good people than wealthy good people. I will say that, you know. And then at the end of the day, they're not coming home with me. At the end of the day, I go home to my own world, and what they do doesn't matter. If it's a politician, it does matter. Because they're the ones making decisions for us. They're the ones dividing. You think Chuck Schumer is trying to unite people? The, you know, New York Senator Chuck Schumer? You think he's trying to unite people? You think that Nancy Pelosi is trying to unite people? You think that any of these politicians are out there? And Trump, you know what? Trump is just like this, people call him a buffoon. There's a reality to that. In a way, because I don't think that he knows the rules. And I don't know if we should have somebody who plays by the rules, because the rules were invented by lawyers so they could protect themselves. You know what I mean? Is Trump ever going to get impeached? Maybe. You got people out there against him. I find myself defending him sometimes. Sometimes I look at the headlines and I'm like, what's this idiot doing now? You know, and if you're not the middle of the road, you're not being realistic. Because I know that I have friends who are staunch Republicans who Trump can do no wrong. And that's wrong. Because he can do wrong and does wrong sometimes. And I know people who are liberals say Trump can't do anything right. And that's wrong. Because he does stuff right sometimes. And he does care. I truly believe that this guy cares about his country. And I think that initially he was overwhelmed. But since he's a workaholic and since he's such a narcissistic douche, I think that he can embrace the job as being that executor, that executive, and go forward. But, man, people are divided. And people are divided to the point where, you know, even back in the day, I mean, I have a lot of friends, especially on Facebook. I've lost some and I've gotten rid of some. I've gotten rid of some because they were being so negative, and all that stuff was piping through my my Facebook, and then I just had to dump them because that negativity was, like, damaging, you know, my spirit, my daily life. I wanted to be positive. I didn't want to absorb anybody's negative stuff that came from ignorance. It wasn't like negative, hey, this is going on, we need to fix it. It's just anger and name-calling and hate and all that, you know. Who needs that? Who's got time for that? Nobody. And then if it hurts you in some way, you should find a place far away from that type of mentality. But I think that we are lost and we need to be found. The only way to get found is to do good works. And once you start generating that good, positive energy, then all of a sudden you'll see things change around you. And those things will change and be positive for other people. And then you take it to a new direction. But really, all the ones who are out there being so negative and name-calling and all that, you know, news people and all that, what good comes from that? And they are organized now against Trump, you know, with their resist movement. I mean, Hillary Clinton is the face of this resist movement. Really? Hillary Clinton? Hillary Clinton? You know? I mean, that's like, I don't even have an analogy. I don't even have an analogy. You know, that is literally the wolf who has said, I'll take care of these sheep. Don't worry. They're going to be okay with me. You know, that's my analogy. She's literally that wolf who's coming off like, I'm going to help you and take care of you. You have nothing to worry about. You know, I'm your savior. Hillary's the reason why Trump is there. How's that? Obama's the reason why Trump is there. And the more these guys throw hate out there, the more they use people. You know, Obama charged $400,000 for his speeches. Now, he doesn't need the money, does he? I know that Michelle likes to go shopping. A lot of women do. You know, got their shoes and stuff. Got to have shoes. Got to have a big house with a big closet for your shoes. Right? How about this? How about Obama take his next check, that $400,000, and go to Chicago and do a gun buyback program and give those thugs some money for their guns and get some of those guns off the streets. And then we can make it hard for them to get handguns, you know? When I buy a gun, I fill out forms. No thug's going to whip out his ID and start filling out forms, especially if he's a thug, you know? So I think that people need to be positive for each other, and I think that laughter cures anger. When someone's angry and they're spewing their anger, I just start being funny, man. That's my natural self-defense. As a fat kid in school, you either beat the piss out of people or you become more clever than them when they start insulting you. You know, using your fists, hey, if someone puts their hands on you, by all means, teach them a lesson. But aside from that, they're attacking you with their words. You know, it's easy to turn that around and be more clever. And I think that being funny is way, way more of an impact, way better, you know, than being rude. And like I said, Melissa McCarthy, if you haven't seen her as Sean Spicer, you got it. You got to go to YouTube and look at it, man. You got to, because is you're gonna like piss your pants crying. It's too funny. She's great. I mean, they all are, all of them, you know. But wow, it's good to laugh, and it's important to laugh. And the more obscene this world becomes, the more anger. I mean, look at these countries out there. You got North Korea, and they're trying to just be. What are they trying to be? they're trying just to be like, hey, we have all this power. We're small, but we're powerful. Leave us alone, so we could torture our people and do these terrible things. And yeah, we're gonna have a missile that reaches America soon, you know. And that is scaring a lot of people. I have friends in Hawaii. I got friends on the West Coast of the United States. Friends in Alaska and all around the way who are afraid of this nut job, who's got, you know, nuclear warheads. And it was Pandora's box. You don't develop a nuclear weapon and not think it's going to be out there and used. But the only country that's used nuclear weapons on anybody is the United States, who uses it on Japan. So the people in Japan get douche chills when they hear the word Kim Jong-un or nuclear, you know. And now they're having all these drills. They canceled, you know, all these train services. They are beyond scared. It's starting to affect their economy. They already have a problem with that Fukushima plant spewing out all that radiation, and they have no solution. But then you have this Kim Jong-un. Wouldn't it be weird if Kim Jong-un, like, nuked Fukushima and then, like, that solved the problem? And he comes off, gets a Nobel Peace Prize. That's weirder things have happened. That's the crazy freaking world that we're in right now, you know? You just never know what the hell is going to happen at any time. So I just want to be positive for all the people out there, and I know that we can all pray for each other and pray for the future and pray that we understood, you know, when it comes to each other, man. You know, cultures. You know, when I was a kid in school, we celebrated everything, man. We celebrated Kwanzaa. We celebrated, you know, Hanukkah. Every holiday, you know, Ramadan. We had special foods we'd bring in for the holidays or whatever. My mom would make, like, hamantaschen for, like, Hanukkah or whatever, these little Jewish cookies, you know what I mean? Like, she's a big baker. She always baked something cool. It was fun because we shared with each other. There was no, you know, political rant on your country, this country, that religion, your religion, this religion. It was a sharing of religions, a sharing of each other. No matter where I went in the world, and then, you know, I would carry a pack of Marlboro cigarettes with me back in the day when I used to smoke, and I was a pussy about it. I smoked but didn't inhale. I know. You know, I just liked the action of smoking. Then I ended up smoking cigars, you know, because cigarettes were just a waste of time to me. And I do enjoy a nice cigar. I still enjoy a nice cigar. It's rare. It's been like probably, I don't know, 10 months or something like that. But I get these nice cigars once in a while imported. They're like soaked in cognac and all that, man. And it's just really nice to have once in a while. Once in a while, right? I gotta be in the mood, though. But anyway, I'd carry Marlboro cigarettes. I'd go to other countries, man. You know, if you're in the Orient, you'd hang out talking to someone cool. A big thing is trading cigarettes. Like, they give you one of theirs, and you give them one of our nice, smooth-smoking cigarettes for one of their cardboard cigarettes. But no matter what, you share something, you know, and you talk to each other. Then you share ideas of what your culture's like, what this culture's like. And I tell them, like, America is – we don't have a culture, one culture. We're multicultural, and that's the strength of this country. And anybody you ever talk to is going to say that we are a nation of immigrants. We all came from somewhere. You know, even the Native Americans migrated here from somewhere, right? You know, so it's all about not who got there first. It's all about what you're doing now. And the way we treat Native Americans in this country is deplorable. And you don't hear politicians talking about it because the Native Americans don't have big voting numbers. If they had big voting numbers, you would definitely see all the big name politicians coming out for the Native Americans. You know, Standing Rock was a big thing, but why was it big? It wasn't about because they were Native American. It was about because there was news cameras there and people are trying to absorb that, you know, that whole, all that action with those news cameras. But who went there? Who went there? Who stood with those people? Did Barack Obama go there and stand with them? Did Trump go there and stand with them? You know, Hillary, did she go there? Yeah, the Green Party, they went there. They had nowhere else to go. They had to go there. They went there to drive their numbers. Do you think they went there to join the fight and join the cause? No. And the whole thing was solved with money, like I said it was going to be. That the oil companies gave a bunch of money to the Indian nation, and then they ordered the thing over and done with, problem solved. We'll solve it in court. But whatever. It comes down to where your spirit is. And it doesn't matter what color you are. We're all Americans together. And it doesn't matter what country you're from, because we're all people together on this world, in this earth. So, and, you know, people say, well, you got to take the refugees and all that. Let me tell you, man, we need to help them have the country that they love, their own country, to be free. But we don't need to nation build, you know, and it's got to be a worldwide effort. You know what I mean? And nobody can disagree with people living their lives without bombs going off, without being shot to death or stepping on a landmine, you know, being victimized in some way, shape, or form. How do you think people feel in Israel when they're walking around the streets and they got to watch out for somebody from Palestine running at them with a knife to stab them to death? It happens almost every day. The American media doesn't report that, but you know what? That's part of the evil out there. It's part of the evil. It's not part of what good comes from it. You make people hate. The more you commit these heinous acts, the more people are going to hate on you and the group that you represent. So the terrorists out there that are blowing up bombs in the name of Allah, in the name of Islam and all that, do you really think that your average Muslim out there thinks like that or wants to be part of that? But they have to be part of that because that's what they're a part of right now. And it must be very confusing, you know. I have friends who are Muslim, and Muslim with a small M. They don't talk about it. They don't want to get in it. They don't talk about it. They're still my friends. They've heard me rant about Islam and all that, and just how I think that it's just such this archaic understanding of what, you know, what Muhammad meant. And if you listen to the story, it's a story of, it's paranormal. You know what I mean? Come on. Muhammad was abducted by aliens and taken around the universe. if you ever read the story, he was basically abducted by an angel and shown the world, shown the future, and then shown the universe. Muhammad said men and women are equal. In the Muslim religion today, men are superior and women are inferior. Men can do whatever they want to do to women. Women aren't even allowed to leave the home without a man. And that's the people who are devout, people who are really into that religion. So is that bad? Yeah, it's damaging because it damages their souls. It damages what they could be as people, you know? So if Muhammad said men and women enter heaven equally, then that should be observed in their culture, right, and their religion, but it's not. So people came along at different times and then threw different things out there. Even the hijab or that whole thing that they wear from head to toe, that was clothing that was worn by these nomads back in the day, way before Muhammad's time. These people were out in the desert, and there'd be these terrible sandstorms. They get blasted with sand. They had to wear those things. Otherwise, they'd get sand in everywhere and everywhere, you know? And if you ever have sand in your crack, you know what I'm talking about, man. You're swimming at the beach, That was a horrible ride home, unless you can rinse off. That was sandpaper where you don't want sandpaper. So, but it came from that to don't show yourself because of the temptations of other men, and how if a man looks at you, that man, you know, is committing adultery. It got crazy like that in Christianity too. So I think that all of these things could be taken to such extremes that people lose the sight of their objective, which is to have a good day. Isn't it like that? To have a good day. I want to have a good day, you know? I don't want to sit there and think about all these negative things. I want to have a good day. I want my family to have a good day. I want my friends around me to have a good day. So how can I do that for them? Oh, should I criticize them on what they believe? No, not today. Should I, you know, insult them and tell them that you know, I don't like the way they're living and I'm going to judge them? Nah, I'll leave that to God. Should I, you know, should I stop them if they're going to do something inherently stupid and hurt themselves? Yeah, sure. You know, because we're our brother's keeper. I think that we look out to each other on certain levels, you know? And if someone's out there with a cry for help, they need to respond to that cry for help, because that's love, and love's going to rule the day. It's not going to be a situation where we are just all on our own at all times, man. I mean, who wants to live like that? You know what I mean? All the people out there looking for relationships, man. Relationships come in many forms. And then, like, you got to get married and then do all these things and jump through all these fire hoops just to be loved, you know? Is it good? You know, I have friends that have been in, like, lifelong relationships with their wives, their women. And the women, same thing with these men. And it's amazing, you know? It's awesome. And my, you know, my hat is off to them. It's beautiful. It's a true testament on time. Having said that, I think a lot of people are struggling. And then a lot of roles have changed for men, for women, you know. And a lot of women are more powerful now. I like powerful women. I think they're sexy. You know, there's something about them, especially, I won't go into that, but there's something, there's just something about them that I like, you know. Mean and nasty, no. I can live without that. You know, somebody who likes to express themselves in negative terms to make you feel bad, yeah, that nobody needs, you know, male or female. Nobody needs that kind of ticking time bomb. You know, who the hell needs it? Nobody. But in the essence of it all, though, that love, that relationship, especially from, you know, two people, that you have to get to know them and go through the process. And let me tell you, dating is a long, drawn-out, exhausting process. And I think that a lot of people end up single and remaining single because so many things have changed. And, you know, there are guys that don't want to give up the things that they enjoy in their freedom. You know, once you're a bachelor for X amount of years, there's no going back, really, you know, unless you just want straight-up companionship. And it's easier to get a dog, you know, that type of thing, and then focus on that unless you really find someone who enjoys the things that you enjoy, because I don't care, that whole opposites attract or whatever, that's bull crap. You know, initially when you're in a relationship, you go through that honeymoon phase, right? After that wears off, you got to, you know, enjoy doing something, even going to restaurants, going out to see theater, whatever, man, whatever the hell you like, or, you know, things that you enjoy together, or a hobby that you enjoy together, it's always nice, you know? And I think that the older you get, the more set in your ways you get, the more that you need someone to fit in, more like a puzzle. You know, when you're younger, it's more like a lump of clay, two lumps of clay coming together, you can kind of form what you want to form out of it. When you get older, that clay dries up and becomes all hard, rigid, crumbly and stuff, you know, and then you need to find other things that fit in with that crumbly. Their crumbles need to fit your crumbles. Otherwise, it just doesn't work, you know, And I think that a lot of people are out there. Then you have all these dating apps, and I don't know, there's a whole bunch that are out there that people use to try to find each other. And I think that men are having more of a problem with their self-esteem than women. Women get more attention online than men do. And you know what? At the end of the day, what difference does it make? And at the end of the day, how many people do you really want to be with? You just want one person, right? You don't need to be with 100 people. So as the roles change and as things change and as people's needs change, you know, women used to need men back in the day. Now they don't. If a woman has a child, the child's going to be taken care of either by the government or by the guy or both, you know. And women know that. So they can go out there and they can play the game. You know, I mean, the more you look in poor communities, especially the more babies are popping out, the more money they got coming in. And then that's part of the culture that was developed, you know, that was developed in this country and others, but it's a negative enabling part of the culture. So that's not good. And I think that people need to get beyond that. I don't know. It's not like it used to be, that's for sure. And then you look back, when you get a little older, you start reflecting on your life and say, hey, you know, I could have done this differently, or I should have done this, and whatever. And I was talking to a kid yesterday at the supermarket, you know, who kind of just, he stuck in a minimum wage job. He didn't know where to go, what to do, all that, blah, 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 blah. You know, he's going to get a better job at a department store. And I was like, dude, are you married? No. You're 19 years old? You got your high school diploma? Yeah. You have no kids? No. No pets? Nothing? Go in the Air Force. Go in the Air Force. Join the Air Force. Because, and I'm not just saying that because I wanted to join the Air Force, and my mom actually talked me out of it, you know. In fact, I was looking for a Top Gun. That was my thing, man. I wanted to go in that direction, right? Mom talked me out of it for a bunch of reasons, and then I went to a different direction altogether, right? But anyway, I was like, you get out of town, they'll pay for your college, all kinds of benefits. Yeah, especially when you come out, you know, the pay's not terrible. They take care of all the stuff. You get training, join the Air Force. And then when you come out, go there for 4 years, go in there, whatever. You might want to stay in forever. You might want to be a career officer, right? Something like that. I have all kinds of people who did. My sister Dawn was a career officer in the Army, you know, a nurse, teaching nurse. So, I mean, she went her whole life in the Army, you know, I think ended as lieutenant colonel, ultimately. So I think that it comes down to your life. But when you're young, a great way of life is going into the military and experiencing the world, getting away from your parents, getting away from your you know, small-town friends sometimes. Sometimes you need to experience that and see the world. I knew this guy, Albert, Al, Big Al, we called him, and, you know, he was like a hot rod dude, and we all used to drag race back in the day. I was really into drag racing when I was young with my crap box, my Camaros and Firebirds. You know, they made that look beautiful, man, but they were fast. So, you know, we used to chase each other around and all that, do crazy stuff in our cars, you know. But then in Rockville Center, Long Island, there's this long strip, quarter mile straight on Sunrise Highway. We used to hang out in a parking lot by Baldwin, and then race into Rockville Center between the two traffic lights, which just happened to be a quarter mile apart each, right? So this guy, Al, was kind of like the lower rung, I guess, in that crowd. Getting in trouble here and there, but nothing too big, no big misdemeanors, just doing dumb stuff. You know, someone talked him into joining the Air Force, and he did. And then we didn't see him for a while. He went for basic training and all the stuff that they do. We were hanging out at this guy's gas station. He used to sell K2, which was just like racing fuel, like 118 octane or something like that. Right? So we were hanging out there. It was a place where they built race cars and whatever. It was actually a place called Motion, and they built race cars. They built all kinds of stuff, like whatever custom made you wanted, they would build it. So we don't know that. Guy Al shows up wearing his uniform, steps out of his car, you know, his uniform, and just looking all like tall, strong, solid, you know, just like polished. And like, Al, is that you? And he's laughing, and he's like, yeah, you know, tell us stories about the Air Force. And one of his jobs was dropping tanks out of big C-130 aircraft. And he's like, well, I can't tell you how we do it because it's classified, but, you know, he's like, you know, you get to a certain altitude, and then the parachute goes out, and you can pull the tank out. It just sounded amazing. Like everything, even though he did tell us, everything sounded amazing. It was so cool to see this small town guy in Long Island become this big, strong, freaking character who's like, you know, dropping tanks out of C-130s, like doing all this daring, cool stuff. I mean, like, that changes you. It makes you a different person. And all of life is we collect these tools, and we can use the tools for good or for bad. You know, you can use a hammer to build a house, or you can use a hammer to smash stuff up, right? And I think that ultimately we need to pray for each other and be strong for each other and forget about judging people on religion, forget about judging people on what they are, forget about judging people at all. Judge yourself and say, what I'm doing right now, what good is going to come from this? What am I going to get out of it? Is it going to benefit me or anybody around me? And that's how you should live your life. About doing good, doing good works. So I'm going to end the show. This is Michael Engley of Discovery Paranormal. I will check you out during the week, of course, always, the Daily Update. And then my show on Saturday, man, at 6 p.m. Eastern, Michael Engley Live. This is United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Past Christiane.